Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
So we are continuing our series called Good and Beautiful Life. And the whole premise is that Jesus invites us in John 10:10. He says, I have come to bring life and life to the fullest. That Jesus wants something more than just like an average at best kind of life. He wants something more for us than to tolerate things and just like get through it. Like there's something amazing, something beautiful in the moment now. Heaven, not just later, but now. And we've been going through in the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're talking about that you like me, you really, really like me, right? Because we all like to feel liked, don't we? Right? You always like, I know Mickey really likes the old slap on the back, all right? Feels wonderful. And I don't know if you guys heard of millennials. You guys heard of millennials? Any millennials here today? Anyone want to self-identify with the millennial? No one. Yeah, one person like, yeah! So millennials, there's this running joke. They're called the everyone gets a trophy generation, right? Trophy. Yeah, the older people love that joke. They're like, yeah, that's right. I didn't need a trophy growing up, right? And when I was a youth pastor, I just realized I was writing this message. I was actually trying to shape the millennials into, we don't need trophies to be okay. We have just to be like, trust Jesus and be okay with ourselves. I didn't do it on purpose. But what I would do is, I was very competitive. I've come to know true spirituality now where everybody wins, right? Because the Lord wins all. So, gosh, if I ever talk like that, just punch in the stomach. So, what am I getting at? So I'd play games with junior hires. And my whole idea of student ministries was to create chaos. I just imagine that, right? I just wanted those kids yelling and screaming and sweating, all right? So then they could listen to a great message. So we'd be playing these games and I'd get into it. And if you like got out, if you look, whatever game we're playing, there's usually like it dwindled down to like three or four people. There was this red couch on the side of the student ministries room. And if you're one of my former students, I apologize for what I did to you, right? But if you got out, I would say in front of everyone, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, you lost. Go sit on the couch of shame. I know. That's what I labeled that couch. And junior hires would be like, a lot of kids are like, yeah, couch of shame. Other ones are like, oh, couch of shame. Thanks, pastor, right? I don't know how I kept the job for 12 years there, but... Right? But really, really, we all want to be liked. We all want to be special. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's something powerful when you can notice like someone's haircut, or you can appreciate a great meal or a great joke that you saw on Twitter, and you're like, that is amazing. That's like high five your friends when they do that kind of stuff, right? But then it can bleed into this insecurity of where I need you to like me. I need you to validate me. That my existence, my ability of my value, my worth is really dependent on you telling me that I'm worth it. And I went through this season of my life where I weighed 260, 265 pounds. And I finally looked in the mirror and I'm like, I don't want this anymore. And I started losing weight, started running. And over a period of like a year, I lost something like a lot, like 45 pounds. I lost a lot of weight. And it felt really good when people walk up and like, hey, Sauter, what are you doing? I'm like, drinking coffee, right? They love that joke. They're like, no, man. And I knew what they're going to say. It says make it feel even a little bit better, right? And like, oh, you lost all that weight. And at first, it really did feel good. I'm like, hey, thank you for noticing. And then it happened again and again and again and again. And it led me to this place where I had the aha moment or realized that maybe this isn't healthy is when I went down to California for this student ministries conference and I saw another youth pastor that I haven't seen for 4 years. I've lost all that weight. And I walked up to him like, Craig, how you doing? And he's like, hey, Chris, I'm doing good. Anything new? And I stopped him. And I said, oh, so you don't want to say anything about me losing 45 pounds, Craig? And I was trying to be funny, but he looked at me and he like the, what's wrong with you? Right? I'm just like exchanging pleasantries right now. And I felt that kind of ugliness come out. You've ever experienced that before? where you kind of make a joke, you're just kind of like, this is all right, and it, what comes out of you, and you see the response, and you're like, oh, I'm incredibly selfish. Like, it's easy. Have you been there before? Of where you become dependent. You feel like you're not okay unless someone else can say, wow, you're such a good parent. Wow, you're such a good employee. They always need that validation. Now, again, there's this fine line between, like there's healthy to validate. It's healthy. We talk all the time about noticing people. But when you, like, bring it so close to yourself that you feel like if you didn't hear that you did a good job today, that your day is ruined. So, like, we do this with our friendships. We do this in our marriages. We do this at employees. But there's something where we do this even more. And Jesus gets it. Now, before I say this, I am a card-carrying member of the Christian community, right? I'm in the club, right? So, like, when I talk about Christians, I am, like, I'm talking about me as well. It's not just them. But we have to admit, if we can for a second, that Christians do some pretty goofy stuff, right? Anyone with me? Am I alone on this island, right? We can do some weird stuff when it comes to especially of needing to be liked, of needing to be noticed. That we feel that sometimes we need the need of someone's telling us something painful, and instead of just being in the pain with them, we have to make some sort of like Bible verse statement, right? Like we have to always have like one, at least one up them of saying, yeah, remember, let go and let God. And like, yeah, thanks, awesome, all right? I've been part of movements where like the higher the leg kick when you're worshiping, the bigger you kick the devil out the door, right? And like in prayer meetings, like the louder you are, the holier you are. I've been in places where the more you like jump up and down, the more you dance, the like bigger attaboy you're going to get from God. And it's this, sometimes it can feel in spirituality that there's this showmanship of where we feel the, I should say, there's nothing wrong with leg kicks. There's nothing wrong with praying. There's nothing wrong with jumping up and down. But when it leads to, I'll show you, well, Jesus says something about that. Because he gets that our hearts are messy. He gets that what we really want is to be like Jesus. We want to experience holiness. We want to experience his presence. And it's easy to slip into the performance. It's easy to slip into, yeah, I am really great. Look how great I am. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses this right on. And he talks all about spirituality. And I'm reading out of the Message translation. What we have is the NIV, so you can follow along if you want. But I feel like the Message translation, when it talks about Jesus kind of just poking fun of kind of highlighting of what, like, I see what you're doing. What if there's something more? So we're going to be reading for a while. There's a couple verses here. Starting in Matthew 6, verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to skip ahead to 16 through 18. Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be a good theater, but the God who made you will not be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure, play actors, I call them. Treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassion as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get the applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks, just do it. Do it quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. Verse 5. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think that God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you and back to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows you better than what you need. Verse 16, and when you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. This is my favorite part. Shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you're doing. He'll reward you as well. So here's the recap. I love that. The way that Jesus sees what's going around, sees what's happening in culture, and he just begins to address it like right head on. And he says, first he says the money. Don't be George Costanza. It's essentially saying, don't Costanza. George Costanza is from Seinfeld, and there's a scene where he's the calzone shop that they all love, and he goes to tip the guy, but as soon as he tips the guy turns around to grab something else. So George knows, well, he didn't see me. So George goes to reach back, because you have to get credit for the tip. That's very important, right? So he reaches out to grab it. As he does that, the guy sees him, kicks him out. That's the whole episode, right? Of them complaining about that the whole time. Jesus is saying, like, you don't need, if you're going to do something, you don't have to be celebrated for it. Then he talks about praying, that you don't have to go out and make this huge theatrical of, like, look, I'm praying, can you hear me? And then he goes on to if you're going to be fasting or you're going to have some sort of inward discipline of denying yourself. And what they would do is that they would, like, put ash on their face, and they would cover themselves, like, in rags, and just so everyone knows how much they're really suffering. It was like me when I was working at Walmart. Do you guys know I was a lawn and garden specialist, just so you know? And when I'd call in sick to work, right, you couldn't just say, hey, Billy, yeah, I'm sick, I'm not coming in. That wouldn't work. What did you have to do? You're like, oh, I got the black lung, oh, right? Banging pots and pans, thinking that's some sort of medical device, right? So, like, you had to just go way over the top. And Jesus saying, that's just not how we do things. But there's something very important here. Jesus is addressing a heart condition, but he's also inviting us into something beautiful. Because he doesn't say, if you pray, or if you give your money, or if you fast, he says, when. And just a couple minutes, I want to talk about this. See, a good and beautiful life is when, of course, we experience heaven and we love Jesus, but there's also disciplines. There's also these rhythms that we do on purpose, ways that we create habits, the way we train our mind, our body, even our soul to connect with a life-giving God. And he highlights three things that people have been doing, not just in Christianity, mind you. These have been spiritual practices for a very, very long time because they're good for your mind, your heart, and your soul. And he talks about, like, giving of your best, giving financially. Really, what all three of these, Jesus is saying, like, what if this is just what we did? What if just this was like a habit? What if this is when we saw an opportunity, we didn't have to think about it and think even with money, like, well, you know, I tip 25% when my girlfriend is around because she's a high roller, right? She can see I know how to put stuff on a credit card really good, right? You're thinking, well, you know, I watched their kids last week, and so to do it again, this might turn into a normal thing. Or, you know, I drove them to work, or I helped cover lunch. Whatever it is that we all have that thing where we love to be generous until it's like a consistent generosity thing. And you're like, whoa, hold on a second. Jesus is saying it is a healthy practice to be generous. Like, we talk about it every time we take announcements, we have an offering. Like, we don't do that because, like, God needs your money. That's not why we do it. Like, we invite people into it because it is so incredibly good for you, your heart. And if it's your money, if it's your home, if it's your car, if it's your tools, if it's with your words, if it's with your encouragement, like, let's be a community that is willing to be generous again and again and again. And then he goes into the praying. Not if you pray, but when you pray. I don't know how praying works for you, but when you're praying with other people, this is how it usually works. This is where one thing I love about the Vineyard is before I was a part of the Vineyard, if people would say, hey, man, can you pray for me? And I would say, yeah, man, I'll totally pray for you. And then we'd look at each other and like, okay, I'll be praying. And they walk away. I learned early on in the Vineyard, if I walked up to someone and said, hey, man, I'm not doing so well. Can you pray for me? They're like, sure, let's do it right now. I'm like, whoa, hey, man, we have an agreement. I'm vulnerable this much, but then you go away, right? And I feel good about myself because I was vulnerable, right? But we really, like, we believe that God can heal, that God has something good for us now. But then there's, like, Jesus goes into a little bit further, where he talks about, like, get away. Get quiet. In the NIV, it talks about get into your secret place. Lock the door. And why? Why is Jesus talking about this? Because it is, if we're praying in a group of people, it feels good, but you can even be vulnerable just a little bit because you might be thinking, well, I can't say that. Because if she hears that, then she might tell my wife. If I say this, now I'm really in need, is my small group going to look at me and say, wow, you're really needy? Like, we play all these games. But when you get alone, like, do you get alone with God? Because when you can stop playing the game and you can just be like a hot mess in front of God, when you can be really honest, when you can be angry, when you can say out loud, I'm really doubting you, I don't know how this works, something beautiful happens. In any relationship, when you are vulnerable, when you take the risk to be honest, as soon as it comes out of your mouth, something feels good, right? That's heaven. Here's my encouragement to you. Get alone and pray. It might be like in your bedroom. It might be like once the kids are out going back to school. Hey, they're coming soon. You can do it. So for me, it's I'll walk through Jay Cook, and I can talk out loud. I had another pastor encourage me of like, I was talking about, I want to grow my prayer, and he's like, pray aloud. You talk with your friends, talk with God. And it felt really weird, but it is the most freeing thing for me to be alone. If you see me at a Jay Cook and I'm alone and I'm like talking, I'm not talking to some like bird, all right? I'm talking with God. And I'm a high feeler, so how it usually works is I like pray for 5 minutes, cry for 55 minutes. That's usually how it works. But honestly, like I need that. Because I really don't want to play just a Jesus game. I'm not in the church game business anymore. I'm done with that. If I can be vulnerable with God, it has to start there. It has to start with there. And then he goes into the fasting, or I like the inward training, that there is a healthy practice of intentionally denying yourself from things that give you life. Not because sugar is the devil, right? Not because TV is Satan, and not because of whatever caffeine or whatever it is that you feel that you want to take a break from. There's something good of where you can pause and say, this does give me life. Like, I'm a big fan of caffeine. I love coffee. It gives me life. But when you can take a break for a moment, that's for a day, if that's for a week, if that's for a month, a year, you can refocus and say, this is really good. But God, I want to get all of my satisfaction from you. I want to be reminded. Every time I think about drinking this coffee, I want to just go back and say, no, I'm going to get what I need from God. If you've never, maybe like this is newer to you, spirituality is something new to you, I'd encourage you with a group of friends. Like, have a place where you can talk about it and intentionally deny yourself something, because it brings out something good. So Jesus is like inviting us into, not if, but when. But again, he goes back to, don't do it just so you can get to your small group of friends and say, wow, yeah, you're fasting from food? Well, I'm fasting from food and blinking because I'm so much holier than you. Right? You don't need to one-up people. Spirituality, we do this all the time. We feel the need to one-up someone. There's a good God. He's good for all. So if we can do these things, it leads us and it exposes us to what it is that we really want. This is a very important question. This was on top of my whiteboard this week. What is it that you really want, Chris? Because if what I really want is to have a like thriving marriage, if I want to be a great dad, if I want to be a good like leader, if I want to be a great neighbor, I want to be a good buddy, do we really want that? Or do I just want the appearance of it? Do I really want to deeply invest in my marriage? Because invest in your marriage isn't like, hey, Nikki, you ready to change? But that's how it works, isn't it? To really invest in my marriage means, hey, Chris, are you ready to change? But if I just want the appearance of it, then all I have to do is what? Say some nice things on stage? All I have to do is smile a little bit more? Get a little selfie on our date. Funny that the selfies are like when we're laughing, not when we're like doing this face, just like, right? Because here's the thing. The reason that we drive to appear to be better than we really are is because we're insecure. We're insecure. We are not secure that we are enough for that friend, that boss, that client, that God. We get scared. If they only knew, if they really saw how I acted, if they really saw what I do, if they really saw how I spent my money, if they really knew what I believed about God, what my theology really was, they'd bail. And really, like, the reason I say God's a big fan of the real you over and over and over again, because it is so easy to forget that. So easy to forget that. And Jesus is saying, you don't need people just to like you because you appear to be someone that's like you. You are deeply loved, and that's enough. You are deeply loved by God, and that's enough. And when that insecurity takes over, have you been there before? Like, have you been like self-aware of when insecurity pops up at work or at a party, and all of a sudden you start making claims that aren't true? And you start like far reaching for compliments or to be right, or even like how like you can really argue someone else better than them. That was like me. I was insecure when I, like the story about going to Arizona or to California and Craig. I was so deeply insecure. But when we can trust God that we're enough, then we can be vulnerable. We can be secure and be a mess. So what is it that you really want? Maybe you're here and you're a parent. Maybe you're here and you're an aunt or an uncle, you have friends that have kids. And I think most of us would say, we want to raise healthy, like Jesus-looking kids. Like, I want my kids to be like spiritual people. So do I want them just to see the appearance of what like a spiritual person looks like? Or can they see me struggle with my spirituality? Do they hear me ever like have complaints about spirituality? Do they hear me ever doubt? Do they ever hear me like struggle about this one verse and what I think about it and what would that mean about me if that was really true? Because if all our kids see us as just spiritual rock stars, when they hit 12, they hit 14, and their friend gets diagnosed with cancer or they get bullied, someone says something about them on Instagram, they've never seen me be challenged, they've never seen me walk through hard things, where are they going to learn that? Like, if you want to have a great relationship with your partner, can you be a hot mess? Can you be vulnerable? Because if we have confidence and security, then the real you is never a threat. We don't have to be on the street corner praying so everyone can hear us. We don't have to make ourselves struggle. Really, what Jesus is talking about is, like, what would it look like to be humble? Humility. Humility never gets, like, double fist pumps, ever, right? There's never been time I'm like, hey, we should get humble. And people are like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go, man. I'm getting pumped up for humility. No, it never happens that way. The reason we want humility for someone else, right? Everyone's a big fan of like, yeah, you should be humble. Go for it, man. Because really what we think is, it's hard to be humble when we're right all the time, isn't it? Right? It's not that I'm not humble. It's just I'm right and you're wrong pretty much all the time. So this is where we're wrapping up. Because the way we combat vainglory, that might be the word. The way that we stop seeking for approval, the way we change our value system based on other people telling us that we're okay, I'm moving towards, I am deeply loved by God, and that's enough. I'm okay. The kingdom is not in trouble. I'm okay. If we can get humble, we can move away. If we can get low, we can move away of far-reaching people. And here's just, these are really kind of oversimplified tips. But the first one is this. Show up and leave your selfie stick at home. Thank you for the laugh. I appreciate that. If you're on the podcast, one person laughed, right? I laughed and I wrote that down. So leave your selfie stick at home. Showing up. I remember Tom Green, one of my mentors. He was talking to me about me being a dad, and he says 90% of being dads is showing up. And there's something where we can actually lower ourselves by showing up, because you might not want to show up to like back to school barbecue that your school's putting on. You might not want to show up to the volleyball game. You might not want to show up to the choir concert. You might not want to show up to that one meeting that you can probably get out of. You don't want to show up to that hard conversation with your partner. You don't want to show up to help your friend move. There's something about when we practically deny ourselves and say, I'll show up. I'm not excited about it. I'm not fist pumping about it. I'm going to show up. Because when you show up physically, then you can show up. And that's the next part, is you get curious. Of all the things I'm talking about, these tips, this to me is the most important. Get really curious. By getting curious means this: stop talking. And I know I'm talking the whole time, right? You guys are doing really good at that part, right? Ask life-giving questions of the other person. It is so easy to walk into a party, to walk into the hallway at work, to walk into the living room and just want to talk about your day and talk about what happened to you this weekend. And can you imagine Game of Thrones, the dragons, the rail, right? So hope I didn't ruin that for anyone. I apologize. So we feel like the need just to share our story, which is very, very good. But something happens when you can get curious and ask questions like, what else? What else? What are you learning? What do you love? Three words that you can use: tell me more. Where are you? Like, when you can just sit down and get curious, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm giving you the honor and the space and the time to validate you and to love you. So show up without a selfie stick, ask life, get really questions, and lastly, give your best without being asked. Give your best without being asked. We want to be asked because then we get the validation of responding to it. Sometimes when you decide just to empty the trash and no one sees it, how about this? For me, right? I make the bed and I go find my wife, right? I'm like, guess what I just did? That's right. It's like I just like cured cancer. I made bed. I'm awesome, right? Like, you can give your best without being asked. It might be actually picking up trash like on the floor at work. It might be smiling. It might be encouraging your neighbor kid. It might be actually doing your job, right? It might be being honest. Like, we can give our best, and when no one is seeing, when no one is watching, what you get, because Jesus says at the very end, my Father, he'll reward you. You might not get the slap on the back. You might not get the interview on TV. You might not get the comment on Facebook. But when, because this is what healthy leaders do. This is what healthy parents do. This is what healthy communities do. This is what healthy spiritual people do. We give our best. We show up. We invest and notice others, and we love. And when you do that, what Jesus is saying, you get heaven. And we are experiencing heaven, you get the good and beautiful life. Let's stand. Let's pray. So we take time to pray. We pray corporately, and we pray, and our ministry team, they're going to come up here in a little bit. And we pray not just as a way to end a service, so we all stand up at once. We pray because we really believe it works. And so if you're here today, I'm going to pray for all of us. And then you have a chance to come up to the front. If you're here and you're insecure, and even saying that word, when I said it early, it felt really heavy. That you might be here, you're listening on this podcast, and you are insecure about, you name it, your body, your finances, your career. You feel like, I should be a lot further along than I really am. Maybe you're insecure about your mental health. Maybe you feel like, I shouldn't have these questions. I shouldn't have these feelings. I shouldn't have these issues. Maybe you feel insecure about your spirituality. Maybe you feel insecure as a man or as a woman. So, well, a real woman would do this. A real man would do this. Like, we carry that around with us everywhere we go. And when we buy into insecurity, it's like this like bird chirping in our ear nonstop of, you'll never be enough. There is no hope. You will always be a loser. You'll always be fat. You will never be healthy. And what Jesus is saying, like, well, that's not true. That's a lie, because you are loved. That you are loved. So if that's you, as I pray, however you connect with God, I'm going to encourage you, like, sit with Jesus and let him sing love over your life. Let's pray. So, Holy Spirit, God's presence, will you come? And I need your love. And I pray for my friends here, pray for my friends listening on the podcast. Right now, will you come and overwhelm us with your love? Well, as we step into that stream of the divine, will you just swallow us up? And wherever that insecurity is, first of all, we just admit it's there. We've bought into it. I even just get a picture, like, you just put it on the table and say, this is my insecurity, this. And we don't want that anymore. That insecurity, that guilt, that shame does not get to define, does not get to tell me who I am anymore. And God, will you take that off the table, and will you put on the table what you think about us? What you think about our bodies, what you think about our marriages, what you think about our finances, what you think about our careers, what you think about us as mothers, as fathers. Give us what we need to move in confidence. Help us be humble. That we are okay. Amen. So I'm going to invite our ministry team to come up to the front. And if you've been trained on ministry, we'd love to have you come up and help people just connect with Jesus. If you're here and you'd like prayer, we'd love nothing more than the opportunity to pray. And again, if you're feeling insecure, you're insecure and Jesus offers that security, or this last one, you just need help. Felt like what God spoke to me was, there's people here, you need help, and you don't know where to turn to. So feeling insecure, you want help, or anything else, we'd love the chance to pray. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next weekend.